John Batchelor with David Petrucia. Great fun. David Petrucia's book is great fun because at the time it was tragedy upon tragedy. People were struggling to have confidence each day that there would be a tomorrow. The world of the United States at this time was watching Europe tumble into the catastrophe we know as the Second War, still with us, still scarring mankind. But at this moment, we come to election night, and David celebrates election night by taking us to a scene in the Hyde Park scene, the one where Roosevelt always returned to Hyde Park. It was like he recharged his batteries there. Eleanor's in a white chiffon gown with an immense red rose. I'm following in her belt. I'm following David's reporting. The reporters are gathered outside. The teletype machines are chattering away. David, they still expected for it to be close that late in the night. Is that correct?
Well, they didn't know. And politics is a time of surprises. Jim Farley was always very confident. He had predicted that Roosevelt would take 46 out of 48 states. Franklin Roosevelt was predicting a win and had been the whole time, but not a massive, massive landslide. The Literary Digest was still, which had a sample. It was a straw poll. It wasn't scientific. People mailed their responses in, but they had millions of responses. They had missed the 1932 election by only two electoral votes. They had everything right except one state, 1924, 1916, which was an eyelash. They had got that right. So they had always been right. So why would you think they wouldn't be right? Or why would they be so horribly wrong in 1936?
The first notes that come in are from New Haven, Connecticut, right across the border from Dutchess County. And Roosevelt himself reacts when he learns that he's won New Haven by 15,000 votes. That tells him something strange is happening, and the teletype starts to chatter. David, the celebration goes on to a point where I have to believe they were drunk with not quite believing it. Because
he didn't believe it. He says, that can't be right. You're reading that wrong. And then they read it to him, and they verify it, and it's like, holy cow, this is going to be good. This could be the realignment of American politics that I was hoping for. This is beyond a mandate. So the party really starts to get going then. In Kansas, meanwhile, where I don't think they had big hopes at that point, their internal polling was actually pretty bad. They had a poll from the Nielsen organization, the people who do the TV and radio ratings. And at one point we have this data that he was behind 50 to 33. So they kind of knew they were in trouble. But with Roosevelt in Landon, they had a big birthday or celebratory cake prepared. And Landon said, you better cut that quick, to his wife, because it may be too late with the returns coming in.
And he has coattails like a royal train. Afterwards, yeah. The final vote, 74 members of the Senate are Democratic, 334 members of the House are Democratic, 38 governorships. He sweeps everything in. And David, I congratulate you for identifying the moment when the modern Democratic Party puts together what we know now to be its strength in the big cities. And they've never really looked back from this moment.
106. For some reason, the figure came out of 106 big league major cities in the United States. And Roosevelt carries 104 of those, except for Pasadena and Syracuse. Even Hoover had carried 15 of them. There was a study done in 1907 regarding the immigrant population, particularly in the cities, but all over the country, and that their children were going to come of age somewhere between 1930 and 1940. Well, somewhere happened to be 1936, and all those folks really flopped down for Franklin Roosevelt.
Roosevelt sweeps nation. David Petrucia is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.